Voices of Women is a top radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Hello, I'm Chris Stainis, the host of Voices of Women on Transformation Talk Radio. Well, today we're going to talk about money and our finances, and it's a very timely topic given the financial situation we're facing right now. It brings up a lot of fear in people, especially when the media puts so much focus on it, and like, you know, they should be right now with what's going on. So my guest today is Diane Jewell, and we're going to talk about money, worry less and feel good again, insights for understanding and action. So if we're worrying or feeling stuck about money, as some of us are, it wears on our daily life and injures financial well-being. How we feel and think about money influences our dealings with it, and beliefs about money can be far more powerful than the mechanics employed to earn and keep it. So a deeper understanding of money, emotions integrated with personal finance principles yields resiliency and resourcefulness, tools that surpass any finance expert's schemes for financial success. So Diane Jewell began life on a family farm in Iowa where cash in the hand was scarce. Years later, she found herself at Microsoft Corporation, where she became a wealthy professional woman. Over her lifetime, Diane has had front row seat on the most significant economic booms and busts of her generation, gathering resiliency, resourcefulness, and financial literacy. Today, she's the founder and owner of The Feminine Face of Money, and she consults with women in the rich landscape of money, emotions, and transforming personal relationships with money. She offers practical tools and skills to women who are financially supporting a family, seeking to attain a life's dream, or want to navigate life's transitions and thrive. Her background as a depth psychologist lends a unique perspective to women in the marketplace, as she uses money stories, dreams, art, and gesture to help women holistically explore money emotions and gain financial language and literacy. The Feminine Face of Money mission is a woman in every home and in every workplace with financial well-being. Diane is known for her intuitive ability to dig deep into the emotional aspects of money, as well as the fears and mental blocks that keep so many women from attaining their financial dreams. Diane has decades of public speaking experience, over 25 years coaching experience, and nimbly applies her considerable depth psychological insight to the issues at hand. She's the author of the forthcoming book, The Feminine Face of Money, and she is currently researching the financial success of women and their transformative lifestyle changes in her two-year-long Women's Money Wisdom Project. So welcome, Diane, to the program.
Thank you, Chris.
So
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, so you go from a farm life growing up to Microsoft to what you're doing now. So Microsoft, you were in computer work. I think you had a lot of technology experience, if I remember. And So how did that shift happen from going from there to working with helping women, particularly, find financial well-being?
Well, I think my own money story, as you depicted it, of growing up on the family farm in Iowa, where I grew up working class, and then became a wealthy professional woman. My own money story reveals how complicated women's economic rise, you know, will be. And that's what brings me to the work. You know, all the research and the data shows that women, despite our move towards financial equality, we're more unhappier than ever about our finances and the economic system in which surrounds us. And for me in particular, as I was paying attention to this while I was studying at Pacifica Graduate Institute in the depth psychology program, I became very frustrated by the fact that women in particular are struggling so much to create financial security. And so, because what I began to notice in my own life and in the lives of my women friends is few things work as simply as don't spend more than you have, don't borrow more than you can afford to pay back, don't invest more than you can afford to lose. Few things work as simply as that in our lives and in our finances and in our economic systems. And then I was contemplating how, there are those simple principles that really aren't so simple. And then I was thinking, well, on the flip side of that, isn't it interesting that money is one of the, leading causes of power struggles in relationships, sometimes leading to divorce, sometimes leading to self-medication through substance abuse. And that's what makes money not so simple, is the emotionally charged nature and the deeply psychological nature of money. And so I set out to find what's really at work in our financial choices. And the answers I was looking for took me more to psychologists and even spiritual advisors than they did to financial experts. And believe me, I was, as a wealthy professional woman, I was working with the financial experts. So I could easily tap into their knowledge and expertise. But to get the answers that I was looking for, remarkably, like I said, took me to psychologists and spiritual advisors. And, for me, the problem started to become clear when I realized that when we have financial trouble, we tend to go straight to the numbers. You know, I need to save more, I need to earn more, I need to invest more. Now, those numbers and, those needs are really important to attend to. However, the truth is that, women are starting to realize that our financial behavior, consequently, our numbers have very little to do with money. So that has led me then to found the Feminine Face of Money and really focus in on the integration of work with money emotions and our internal dialogues and beliefs we have about money and integrate it with financial language and literacy. So I'm really looking for grounding money emotions, but then integrating it with personal finance principles. And that's what I am saying yields the deeper resiliency and resourcefulness. And women are very resilient and resourceful just naturally. So I'm really trying to work with women's innate capacities and abilities and just raise up this idea or make people more aware that emotions have a lot more effect on our financial behavior and the focus on the numbers doesn't necessarily serve us as well as the focus on what's going on inside our minds and our hearts how are our values aligned with our finances.
Well, there's a lot there for us to talk about today. You brought up a lot. So I'm curious, the power struggles in relationships we equate money with power. And so here you are in a relationship. Is that because we're trying to, the money becomes an issue because we're trying to claim our power to look for maybe it's not balanced, maybe you're in a household where the male takes control of it, and so you get into the struggle because you want to have equal say. Is that what's going on?
Well, it's both and, because finance and economics is local and personal. And then there's economics as we're seeing play out in our world, well, in our nation, in our communities, in our nation, and in our world. And we're seeing that played out via the media right now and via the politics. So it's and both. But I tend to focus on the personal finance piece and looking inside ourselves and then changing ourselves from the inside out so that we can contribute to the collective treasury of wisdom that is being brought to bear on the vast and complex global economic issues facing our communities, our nation, and our world. So it is about personal finance and relationship struggles, power struggles in intimate partner relationships, or even in our workplaces. It is about that. And so one of the things that is really helpful to understand in this respect is that the women that of independent means and mind that I that are attracted to and participate in the Feminine Face of Money community and who hire me to do money coaching work with them or attend workshops, these independent-minded women of independent means actually create and live into personal development experiences that are closely linked with money and financial well-being or financial health and financial literacy. And the first place that they start, working those personal development issues is in their families. And
that's so true. And we're going to have to go into that after the break. So you're listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more about financial literacy with Diane Jewell.
TransformationTalkRadio.com, transforming the world one listener at a time.
Hi, I'm Paul Bland. Did you know there is only one truly perfect food protein produced by nature? It can bring dramatic results to your health, your appearance, and overall performance. Introducing Action Whey. No other protein supplement on the market has been able to achieve the incredible health benefits of Action Whey while still achieving a taste that is better than a malt shop shake. Action Whey, for the way nature intended. Visit seaandearth.com. That's seaandearth.com for more information.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Are you ready to fast forward your healing and personal transformation? Would you like to learn state-of-the-art techniques to easily balance your energy and quiet your mind? The Healing into Consciousness 8-week online course will give you weekly personal guidance with medical intuitive and internationally acclaimed master healer Eliza Mata Dalian. Learn how to heal your pain, fear, anxiety, or illness. Register for the May 22nd course at healingintoconsciousness.com. That's healingintoconsciousness.com.
Bambusa Bamboo Products saves trees and reduces waste by providing a new material for bathroom tissue and baby wipes. Bambusa Bamboo Products offers the only tree-free 100% bamboo bathroom tissue and award-winning baby wipes made from ultra-soft bamboo-derived fibers. Using material from renewable bamboo is the ideal alternative for toilet paper and wet wipes. Call 866-996-2867 or visit bambusa.com.
Get inspired. Create the life you desire with internationally known radio host and motivational speaker, Sue London. Sue inspires millions of people to overcome difficult or traumatic situations in their lives. People feel hope, courage, and are ready to move forward after hearing Sue speak. Book motivational speaker Sue London for your next event at AskSueLondon.com. That's AskSueLondon.com.
Women of wisdom, women of
This is Chris Stainis. Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm talking today with Diane Jewell on our financial well-being. So we were just talking about, lots of things, but I'd like to go back to, you mentioned about women struggling around money. So what are the types of issues you see with that women have that we struggle with?
Well, I see that the primary struggles are that women may be worrying or feeling stuck about money. Women may be in a life transition. Women may be thinking about the long term and not getting the support they need in the short term to support that long term. And to thrive in the long term, they need to attend to the immediate needs day to day, and yet their mind is definitely on the long term and how to thrive in the long term, how to navigate inevitable life, inevitable decisions that have to be made as we live in and through life transitions. Many women right now are focused on their families and wanting their children to have education beyond high school. So they're concerned about, well, how do I contribute to my own retirement and how do I also help my children get the education they need? They may be in that place that, we call sandwiched. They may be sandwiched between caring for their family and having to care for their elders and in their immediate family or in an extended family. So those are some of the bigger issues, and the more pressing issue for many women right now is simply unemployment and finding jobs, keeping jobs. Those are huge issues for us. Or living, having to manage with one income when there have been two incomes in the household. Or because that affects not only daily living, but it affects how much is getting tucked away into savings for education, tucked away into retirement savings account. It also affects women's ability to spend money on personal development experiences, which, women are really, they really seek out for themselves because it helps them get the sanity check they may need in the hurry and flurry of daily life, or it's just the thing that makes them feel good about themselves in addition to taking care of their families or taking care of their families of choice.
So you mentioned there's a lot of things that women worry about. They've got to balance all this. And you're right, we go from what's immediate, what do we need right now, and then we have these long-term goals and how we're going to thrive, especially if you're at my age, at 60, then you wonder about what's going to be like when you retire. Will you have enough to live as you not even as you want to live, but as you need to live? So why do we get stuck? Because there seems to be this feeling that we're stuck, not moving forward in this.
Well, it's two parts. One is about the messages we get from the culture that come at us, and then another place of stuckness just comes from right inside of us. So let me take a moment to address the cultural issues or the cultural talk that we hear, and then I'll come back to focus on what the work that I do that overcomes some of that cultural talk that we internalize. So first of all, what we know is that there is a dissonance between a woman's way with money and the man's way with money, especially when relating with the world of financial services and finance professionals. I've been long time doing some research around this issue, and I just want to point out that no matter what, which aspect of the financial crisis you consider that we're currently in right now, there is a man behind it. And I think it's worth pointing out that how things might be different if the financial world were female. But the financial world isn't female, and I believe it's largely because women have been conditioned through, socially conditioned that we have a dysfunctional relationship with money. And I fully loudly resist that idea. I think women actually have a very functional relationship with money. Women are the people in our families who manage the daily household budget. They keep things running from day to day, year to year. And they're the ones who have the long-term and the short-term financial considerations in mind. And if you were even just to look at, for any women, a lot of the women that I work with, they're independent, women of independent means in mind, they have, money and then some, meaning that they have money to spend on personal development experiences, and they're intentionally saving for the long term, for the future. Now, what we know when we look at women, who are actually have savings and who are involved in investing their money, that many researchers have pointed out that women's risk-adjusted returns beat those of men by an average of about 1% annually. In short, women do trading in terms of investments less frequently. They hold less volatile portfolios, especially important in times like these. And they generally expect lower returns than men do. And the other thing that we know is that women feel it's more important than men to avoid incurring large losses. And they won't act on incomplete information. And so, in short, women are more risk-averse than men, and they shy away from uncertainty. So there is a distinct emotional difference between men and women as they perceive and take risks. And also the other emotional aspect that I want to bring up here is that in negative events like a financial crisis, that financial crises make men more angry than fearful, and women, on the other hand, tend to be more fearful and angry. And so a lot of women that I work with speak about their stress, their worry, their anxiety, their fears, with good reason, because crises, like financial crises, it's just natural. Women are tending to feel more fearful, whereas when men feel more angry. Now, those differing emotions lead to divergent viewpoints. For example, researchers have pointed out that when men come at this financial crisis, they come at it with a lens of anger, and the world seems more certain or maybe more amenable to control. It may be when you come at something, with anger, the world may seem less risky. When women come at the financial crisis and looking at it through the lens of fear, the world appears to be full of uncertainty and beyond our control and rife with risk. So that's in the minds of men and women, the anger and the fear can affect financial decisions. For example, women are tending to expect, they're really more conservative in general, and they don't take the risks that the men do. And so they take fewer actions, they tend to be more realistic, they tend to be more pessimistic, and they ultimately tend to keep their options open and diversify their investment portfolios, or are just more cautious, just more careful. So that's the cultural kind of thing that's going on, and we internalize all that. So when women say that they're fearful about money, I say, yes, of course you are. And women say, well, I don't know anything about money. I'm just clueless about that. And I say, yes, of course you might be. because that's the cultural messages that we get. So that's really brings us back to money, emotions, and the internal dialogue that we have with ourselves about money when we interact with it. And I don't know if you want to ask me another question here at that point, or if you just want me to plunge ahead and talk about and talk about that.
Well, it's curious. Is it so? It sounds so black and white. I see how men and women would approach things differently, and I think women do have fear. I've seen that with just, you know, women not wanting to have debt and being uncomfortable with debt. And I think I see businessmen just going, okay, we've got a debt. What are we going to do to, you know, bring money in? Whereas women tend to go into fear of, oh my God, we're in this debt and, you know, what's going to happen and kind of freeze and not do anything. Is that something that you see too?
Yes. And that again is a focus on the numbers, you know, and it's a focus also on these concepts like financial achievement and financial success. And what we know is that when relating with the world of financial services and finance professionals, or just simply our bank, we learn that the amount of money that we have, you know, the sheer amount of our, you know, our net worth, the amount of money we have, oftentimes the gold standard used by the masculine dominated banking and financial services sector to define financial success is not the best gauge of financial well-being. And if fortunate, women will have an experience that affords them to learn about what is financial being. In other words, when I say an experience, if you have such experiences, both men and women of independent means and mind, eventually learning that for being rich's sake and accumulating wealth does not yield financial well-being. So here's the thing that differentiates me from many people who work with women around their money. First of all,
we'll have to talk about that after we take this short break. This is Christina. You're listening to Voices of Women. We'll come back and talk more about this financial well-being with Diane Jewell.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Is Egypt calling you? Are you dreaming of taking a spiritual pilgrimage to one of the most magical destinations on the planet? Being in Egypt immerses you in the realm of infinite possibilities. The veils are thinner, your connection to your full potential more accessible, and your heart opens more easily. Picture yourself meditating inside the Great Pyramid, exploring the sacred temples in exclusive visits, and cruising down the Nile on a luxurious sailing yacht. If you're interested in travel that transforms and rejuvenates you, join Dr. Friedemann Schaub and Danielle Rama Hoffman, author of The Temples of Light, for a spiritual and healing journey to Egypt this November. Call for more information, 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-6463. Or visit EgyptIsCalling.com. That's EgyptIsCalling.com.
Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
Welcome back. This is Chris Stainis, and you're listening to Voices of Women. And today we're talking about financial well-being with Diane Jewell. So, Diane, let's get into this. Actually, first, please give your contact information for the audience, and they can find your website or locate you to if they want to talk to you.
Yes, Diane Jewell. My first name is spelled D-I-A-N-N-E. My last name is spelled J-U-H-L, Diane Jewell. My company's name is The Feminine Face of Money, and you can locate my website, thefemininefaceofmoney.com. You can also follow me on Facebook at The Feminine Face of Money, or you can follow me on Twitter at TFFOM, and my phone number is 206-850-2261.
Okay. So let's talk about financial well-being. I think that's, you know, and I think that's what people would strive for, that we want that, but we don't know quite how to get that. Cause we're, like you say, we're stuck in the numbers.
Right. So again, my understanding of the independent, the women of independent, means and mind who I work with in the Feminine Face of Money is that they are emotionally aware. They are emotionally intelligent and often fearless in evolving their conscious awareness in regards to their relationship with money and their family's relationship with money. And they understand that powerful money emotions and beliefs shape the way that we live and evaluate our lives in terms of financial well-being. And these women also have mastered the nuts and bolts of personal finance or are mastering the nuts and bolts, and or they have responsibly delegated this to a spouse or intimate partner. So for these women, money is essential. For us women, money is essential for meeting a woman's basic needs. So there's no doubt that money matters. Now let's get on to financial well-being. So money matters. We get that. So let's talk about financial well-being instead of financial success or financial achievement as conventionally defined by the larger cultural surround or financial services professionals. And I define financial well-being simply as effectively managing your economic life or effectively managing your personal economy. And financial well-being, or this idea of managing financial well-being in your life and in the life of your family, manifests itself in three ways. In the first way it manifests, most commonly, is that if a woman has financial well-being and their family has a financial well-being, it's a state of household financial stability that comes from the ability to pay for the basics. Now, for women, the basics may be different than men, but for both men and women, the basics include housing, clean water, food, safety, health care, and education. So again, that's kind of the first way that we see financial well-being manifesting in itself. In that case, for many women, it's the idea of having money and having money to meet to pay for these basics. The second way that financial well-being manifests itself is what I call, in short, having money and then some. And how that manifests is that women have an abiding sense, or they're living in an abiding state of satisfaction, and they have a sense of financial security characterized by lack of worry, lack of stress, lack of fear. So there's a sense of satisfaction, and there's not the worry, the stress, and the fear. And this sense, or this state of satisfaction, comes from the perception that a woman has money and then some to do what she needs to do. There's cushion. There's a little give and take in the personal economy of women and their families. So that's the second way. The third way that financial well-being manifests is that women and or their families have a state of happiness that comes from spending money, that they have money and then some, and the money and then some, not go, the extra disposable income is not only going into saving for the long term, for education, for vacations, personal development experience, and that sort of thing, or saving for emergency. Simply having, right now we're being told that we need to have a 6 to 9 month financial cushion. So that means you need to be able to survive for 6 to 9 months without to be able to draw on your savings to pay for all your basics. And many women are simply at that level concerned that they have that cushion. But if they have that cushion, then it leads to this third manifestation of financial well-being, which I call a state of happiness that comes from, or a state, I call it the state of joy and happiness that comes from spending money on experiences or others, that is giving and gift-taking, giving and gifting, versus accumulating things and material possessions. And what I know about the women that I work with is that it's that, you know, we like to make our homes safe sanctuaries and cozy places for ourselves and our families. So we certainly spend money on our homes and even our offices and our workplace to feel comfortable in those. So I'm not talking about accumulating things and material possessions that contribute to that feeling happy and good and joyful in the places where we spend a lot of time in our day, our workplaces and our homes. I'm talking about accumulating things and material possessions just for the bling factor, or just for the sake of accumulating that in terms of, like, say, status symbols. And so these women are focused on, the women I work with are primarily focused on taking care of these other things that I just spoke about and then giving or gifting. And when women can do this, they really feel like they've made it. That's financial success to them. That's financial achievement, that they can give and gift, and they're in the state of happiness or joy. And this state of happiness and joy and gifting and giving comes from a perception that a woman has both the financial reserves and the financial independence to purchase meaningful experiences for her professional growth, or to purchase meaningful experiences with the company of others who enliven her, who make her feel creative, who make her feel even more happy and joyful, or contributing to causes that she can wrap her mind and her heart around to say, this cause I'm, and this issue I'm really concerned about, and I either want to contribute my sweat equity in terms of my time, because time is money, or if I don't have time, then I want to contribute some disposable income that I have to that cause, and so that the people working in that, around that issue or in that cause, can benefit from her contribution. So those are the three ways that financial well-being manifests itself.
So, yeah, I agree with that. You know, it gives you great joy to spend money, well, on experiences or being with others versus, I don't want one more thing in my house, to tell you the truth. So, but how can we, in fact, we're going to have to go into the next segment for this because I think this is going to, but let's just start the discussion. We're dealing, like you said, a lot of women looking for work. And I'm curious if you know any statistics are, is the percentage higher for women who are out of work than men? And the fear that brings, like we can't even get to this place of this, this thriving that you're talking about because they're still in this looking for the financial stability of, mm-hmm. to meet the basics. How mm-hmm. do we deal with that? How do you talk to people who are just dealing with having to find the, worrying about the basics?
Right. Well, again, this goes back to the women's way versus the man's way, with money. And I contend that women have the potential to create civilization inside themselves and around themselves amid financial chaos or amid financial, insecurities. Women have this, and are well prepared because of their ability to tap into their emotions and deploy their the emotional intelligence. They have the ability and are well prepared to understand themselves better in order to go for what they want to go for in terms of job security, or in terms of negotiating to, you know, to earn what they're worth, or when I say job security, I mean to secure jobs. So, and I don't know if you want me to speak briefly to what we're seeing in the financial or economic surround about men and women versus jobs, but I'd be happy to talk about that. Should we talk about that now or after the segment?
Well, we only have 1 minute.
I'll simply say that what we saw is that at the initial outset of the financial crisis, starting in about at the end of 2006 and going into 2007, and then being made manifest in 2008, what we were seeing is that women initially were keeping their jobs, and women were being hired into jobs that men were being laid off from. Now the reverse is happening. The men are entering that, being hired, that more men are being hired than the women, and women, through this whole time were still earning less than men do, with comparable experience. So they're still earning only about 80 cents on, you know, on the man's dollar. So economically, women are still one down in terms of the men in the workplace. But I don't want to make it a women versus men conversation because that's just the reality. What I'm interested in is, like, how can we women start taking leadership around this idea of financial well-being inside of ourselves and then bringing this idea of financial well-being into their families?
Okay, well, we'll talk more about that when we return with our conversation with Diane Jewell.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Lower back pain can be a real pain in the, well, you know. The newly patented Vacupractor relieves that pain simply, inexpensively, and from the privacy of your own home for just $59.95. Listen to what Brad and Dottie have to say about their Vacupractors.
The Vacupractor is amazing. I've had back pain for so long, it's taking time to adjust and not having the pain there.
Each time I've used my Vacupractor, I've gotten instant relief. I would recommend anyone with stiffness and lower back pain give the Vacupractor a try.
Vacupractor is just a one-time cost of $59.95. And you can use it whenever you need in your own home. How does it work? Simple. The Vacupractor uses vacuum pressure. It stretches muscles, restoring proper nerve function and reducing the possibility of disc failure. Finally, a simple, effective treatment for lower back pain that really works.
For more information about the Vacupractor or to order yours, call 800-676-9320 or visit vacupractor.com.
If you like reading personal development books and would appreciate receiving additional guidance from the author, this unique gift is for you. When you purchase the book, In Search of the Miraculous, Healing into Consciousness, and the No Yes Active Meditation CD, you can register for a free teleclass with Eliza Matadalian, which will give you an opportunity to ask your questions and receive personal guidance on how to find your inner joy and live your life more fully. Visit healingintoconsciousness.com for details.
Women of wisdom, women of wisdom, women of wisdom, rise and shine, sister of light, spirit of woman, rise and shine. Every day.
Welcome back. This is Chris Stainis with Voices of Women, and I'm talking to Diane Jewell. And if you want to check out Diane's website, she's with thefeminineFaceOfMoney.com. So, Diane, we just ended with talking about having that internal dialogue, having a positive internal dialogue. And I can understand where that's where the work is really at to mm-hmm. come to this financial well-being. Mm-hmm. So what practical solutions do you have for people? One, to how to establish the positive internal dialogue, and then practical steps they can make.
Right. Well, the first step is that to realize that no amount of technical financial information, head knowledge, and no amount of money in a 401k or in your bank account is going to help women succeed in feeling financially secure if a woman can't first see herself as worthy of that success. Let me repeat that. No amount of technical financial information or money in the bank and investments is going to help a woman succeed in feeling financially secure if a woman can't first see herself as worthy of that success. And all women are worthy of that success. So the first practical thing to tackle here is noticing your money emotions, because your money emotions are the portal to this internal dialogue that we've been talking about. So noticing how you feel and think about money as you interact with it on a daily basis. And internal dialogue, of course, is that running conversation that we have in our mind about money. It's what we think or we say to ourselves about money and finance. So a simple practice that the Feminine Face of Money promotes, a simple practice called talk, notice, trust. It's a three-part practice. Talking about money in a meaningful way that allows you to feel enlivened and feel creative and feel ready to take on financial problems in a creative problem-solving sort of way. It's talking about money that allows money talk to become a comfortable part of your everyday responsible adult conversations, as versus not wanting to have those conversations or going out of your way to avoid them. So it's talking about money with your intimate partner in meaningful ways, so as opposed to a power struggle sort of way, or finding trusted girlfriends who you think maybe whose economic circumstances are similar to yours, and or you look at observe their life and you say, well, they seem to have a sense of financial well-being, as I've previously defined. So let me talk to that, you know, let me take a risk to talk to that woman and my friend about how does she do it, or if it's a man friend, how does he do it? And then so that's talk about money. The next step of that practice is the notice step, which is noticing money's flow in your life and monitoring that flow so that you are offered ease with money and a peace of mind, so that you have a familiarity with money and an intimacy with the subject. And that's where financial literacy comes in place. That's where comes into play. And that, again, having a connecting with other people who seem to be organizing themselves around this idea of financial well-being, then you can learn from your friends about, you know, the subject of finances and gain more financial language and literacy that way. So you're noticing money. When I also talk about noticing money's flow in your life, I'm also talking about not creating monitoring, you know, money's inflow and outflow is important. You need to know that. But I'm really speaking about how do you set up a forward-looking spending plan? How do you set up a plan for the next 12 months that says, this is the money question that's predominant in my personal economy, and it's the money question that for the next year I'm resolving to answer. And so that's noticing money's flow in your life, as opposed to budgeting, which many of us don't like budgeting simply because it's a backward glance to the past. And who has time to look back? We're all about needing to be in the present day and looking forward to the future. So the third part of the, you know, the talk, notice, trust is trust. And that's trusting the money mentor in you, which I believe is your women's intuitive capacity, and the money mentors around you. Because if you can trust your own inner wisdom, and then you have developed some trusted money mentors that surround you, you will become empowered with the information from multiple perspectives, including your own internal perspective, that that informs your direct experience, and then therefore make positive external financial choices, and seek positive financial solutions for yourself. So with talk, notice, trust, those are skills that in the money coaching work I do is I help people understand those, you know, how to employ those skills, embody those skills so that they become second nature to the women that I work with. And on the flip side, if you're not even thinking about talking, noticing, and trusting, you are, in a sense, sabotaging yourself. And if you're not talking about money, if you're not noticing the money's flow in your life, and if you can't trust yourself or trust others around you, these are things that can, if they don't exist in your life, then it implodes your wealth strategy. And if you notice, talk, notice, trust, talk begins T, notice begins with N, and trust begins with T. That is the acronym TNT. So I say that these practices either fuel and activate your wealth strategy, or they can implode your wealth strategy. So that's the first thing that I wanted to, you know, practically that women can do. Now, another set of practices that I employ with the people that I work with, either in workshops or in money coaching one-on-one, is I employ an idea called Name It, which is where you name the your money question, and then you also talk about what is your deepest desire in connection with that money question. In other words, if you have a presiding money question like, I need to save more money in my retirement account, the naming of the deepest desire would be something like, or how can I save more money in my, how can I just simply save more money? So your presiding deepest desire may sound something like, what's one thing I can do starting today that would transform the situation I'm currently in that is generating that question? And then the second stage or practice is we speak about claim it. So that was name it and now claim it. Claim it is where you literally put a stake in the sand and you say, okay, I'm gonna commit to doing a certain set of actions that will allow me to realize my deepest desire, which is to put more money in savings, and you're going to commit to it, and you're going to see how that works out for you. So it's a process. When you stake your claim to the, answering this money question, it is a process. Something similar along the line to creating a forward-looking spending plan or a six to 12 month spending plan. You're staking a claim that I'm going to commit to these actions, and then you see what happens. Without blame, without judgment, you're simply noticing. And that's why, I work with people in money coaching, because they come back to me and they say, okay, I staked my claim, and I was working on, I call them dare-to-dos, these actions that you take. I worked on my dare-to-do, and this is what I noticed. Or I worked on my dare-to-do, and now I ran into another question I have. Let's set aside a time to talk about that, and then I can go forward. And so
So it sounds like a good process, an ongoing process that never ends. Yeah. Well,
yeah. Well, it ends.
We're gonna have to end our. End with financial well-being. We have to end the show now. So thank you, Diane, for being here today and sharing with our audience your wisdom about financial well-being. I want to leave everyone with this thought today to think about what is your financial state of my financial state of mind, and how you can make it better for yourself and your family. And take a look at your emotions that are driving your finances. Is it fear of failure or fear of success? And think about what would make you feel empowered with money. So this is Chris Danis. I'm glad to have shared this hour with you on Voices of Women. If you'd like to contact me, you can email me at wow@womanofwisdom.org. I'm the author of the Amazon bestseller and award-winning book, Woman of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. And you can purchase that on our website, www.womenofwisdom.org. You can also sign up for our newsletter. So thank you for being here today, and have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Stainis.